Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for another chance just to come and worship you and just to hear your words, Lord. And God, we just ask that your spirit will just be in this place, Lord, and that, that your words will just fall in this room. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 6. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiatory for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And so when we start looking at 1 John chapter 2, it's all about not sinning. And we see that John is setting the stage for the topic of sin for the next few verses, and that as we as believers, we're called not to sin. Not only are we called not to sin, we're called to walk like Jesus walked, and Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. John starts by saying, my little children. Now, I don't know if you would like to be called my little children as adults, but he's talking to a group of adult believers, and he's referring to them as little children. I think it's key because it has this very gentle feeling, right? As a teacher, as a children's pastor, I'm not going to come out being like, my little children, right? Like at the kids. If you're using those terms, you're going to come out very sweet and soft at them. And I think that's kind of something that stands out for the rest of this section for me is how he begins. And it's something that he's also not just talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers, converts, leaders in the church. And so this is a message directly for us, the believers. And so I think we need to remember that when we're looking at sin and we're looking at the world, we need to not just be looking at everybody. When we're talking about sin, in this spot, it's for the believers. And I don't know about you, but coming in angry at people when they sin doesn't always work. We can look at different protests that go out at like abortion clinics. They don't work. Or if you've ever met with a friend and they're talking about, and they're just continually in sin, very rarely has it ever worked for me to yell at them. And so I think that John is reminding us in his way of doing it, the way of almost like a grandpa. I kind of picture him like this, an old grandpa at the end of his life, telling his grandkids, this is how to live. This is what to do. And he's giving his last final lesson so that the church will remain true to God and remain true to Jesus' teaching. And so, I mean, it reminded me of this time when I was a teacher and one of my students hadn't turned in an assignment for like, I have to say at least a month. It might have been longer. And I had set up all of these things for him to get his work done. And it wasn't getting done. And it was a group of them. There was like two or three. And I was so angry because I would spend hours after school with these kids trying to help them get their work done. And I was truly, like, I was going to let it fly. And I walked out into the hallway to talk to the kids. And Holy Spirit said, don't you dare. And I looked at this kid and I just said, what is going on? And he just started crying. And his mom didn't live at home. She was working in China. He doesn't know who his dad is, or if he does, he doesn't have any time with him, and he just couldn't handle life. And it was Holy Spirit saying, yeah, he's doing something wrong, but how you say this to him is going to impact the next, whatever, years of his life. Now, at the same time, there was another kid I completely yelled at because I didn't have that sense of being gentle with him, and that's what he needed. And actually, his work got in within 2 days. And so I think really setting the tone of how we talk with people in sin and how God talks to us in sin as well. And John goes on to describe Jesus as our advocate. He knows that we cannot live a perfect life. He knows that it's impossible for us to be sinless. I found this illustration yesterday about a pastor and a dream he had. So I'm just going to read it to you. A great minister who was noted for his Christ-like spirit as well as for his concentrated ability dreamed that he had died and stood at the gate of heaven knocking for admission. He gave his name only to be told that his name did not appear upon the books. Finally, at his earnest entry, he was bidden to enter and was told he would have the privilege of appearing before the judge of all the earth. And if he could stand his test, he might abide in heaven forever. Standing before the throne, he gave his name and the following questions were put to him. Have you led a righteous life? He said, no. Have you always been kind and gentle? Again, he replied in the negative. Have you always been forgiving to those who have been around you? No, I have miserably failed there. Have you always been honest and just? And he answered, I fear not. As the question after question was put to him by the judge, his case seemed more and more hopeless. The last question was asked him, and to that, too, he was obligated to give the same negative reply. Just when he seemed to be in despair, the brightness about the throne became brighter and suddenly heard a beautiful voice, the most beautiful to which his ears have ever listened. It was sweeter than a mother's voice. It was more beautiful than the music of heaven. It filled all the arches of the skies and thrilled the soul of this man as he stood before the judge trembling about to fall. The speaker said, my father, I know this man. It is true that he was weak in many ways, but he stood for me in the world, and I take his place before thee. Just as the last words of the sentence were spoken, the dream was over and the man awoke. He had his lesson, and it is a lesson for us all. And so here we see that Jesus comes and he kind of gives us a picture of heaven, what it's going to be like, right? It doesn't mean that our sins are no more. We know that when we get to heaven, there's no right that's gone. But Jesus is taking that place. He's our advocate. And it's not just he took our place. He's actually fighting for us. He's praying for us. He's walking with us. And so when we are stuck in our sins, it's really important that we go and be real with God. He already knows. He already knows the space, the feelings that we're having. He knows our shortcomings. But he wants us to partner with him. Right? He wants us to allow him to come into our life. And he wants us to share with him our struggles. You know, and we don't live in some of us live in a Christian bubble. I've always joked that I've always lived in a Christian bubble. Everything I've ever done is in a Christian world. But we're not called to just live in a Christian bubble. You know, he goes on to tell us that this message is for the entire world. And so even though he's talking to believers, he wants the entire world to know that Jesus came to be the advocate for everybody. He came to release everybody's sin. And if we're only ever looking at ourselves and at the fellow believers, then we're going to live in a very isolated place. And we're not going to be able to bring more people into this freedom. And so I think it's really important that yes, we need to remember our sins, and yes, we need to bring it to Jesus, but we also have to live with people and demonstrate what that freedom looks like so that they too will want to be part of it. And as we go on, we can see that we will have these shortcomings. And I remember I might have shared this before, but my younger brother, he's sort of my brother, we were having this fight one day about perfection. And he's like, the Bible says that we can be perfect. And my entire family was like, we cannot be perfect, Patrick. It's not possible. And he's like, no, you are perfect. We are perfect. We can be perfect. And then he wrote us this letter. He's heading back to college. And he and I fight all the time. That's how I know we're actually brothers, because we like to argue with each other. And he wrote this letter to us that changed everything. And it said, the reason why I say we can be perfect is because your family is perfect. Our family's perfect to me. Now, I'm not going to go into his story, but he comes from a very bad background, right? Like of not being loved by his parents, by being abused. He was a refugee, war-torn Africa. And he comes in and he says, you are perfect because the way you love me. And I think that those words have stuck with me because I know I'm not perfect. I know I mess up. But the way he sees us is the way the world should see us, even in our imperfection, which he was very aware of. He was very understanding of how sinful we can be in our house. He saw the goodness, and that's what we need to bring before God and bring before the world. And he goes on, and John just continues to talk about this idea of sin. And one of the things that just in the last 24 hours, I've really been, I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm preaching on this with everything. And, you know, and, some stuff is going on at home, and my sister was messaging me yesterday, and it's just so easy for sin to creep into our life. It's so easy for sin to be there. And, you know, Bible tells us time and time again, like, check your heart, guard your heart. It's not just having an affair that's a sin. It's even lust in your eye is the sin. And I just think, you know, it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You know, and I'm sure most of you have heard about these crazy teenagers. Okay, they're not crazy. They're stupid. And they're eating the Tide Pods. You guys heard about this? And this, I think, it's around the world. These kids are videotaping themselves eating Tide Pods. You know, those things you put into the washing machine, and it has laundry detergent, and it makes life easier, right, to wash. And these kids, they're like, oh, it looks like candy because it has these swirls of color. And so they're popping in their mouth, they're videotaping, and they're being cocky, and they're being incredibly stupid. And the reality is they know how bad this is for them. They can't pretend they don't know that eating laundry, they're not like five-year-olds. These are like 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. They know exactly how bad eating these Tide Pods are for them. But they still do it. They're still like, look at me, I'm so cool. And I think in our life, in our sin, oftentimes we might not be so bold to be like, look at how good my life is with this sin. But we are boasting about our sin in different ways by not acknowledging it's sin. By not acknowledging that what we're doing is wrong. By thinking it's not so bad, right? And I think when we have to guard this house, we have to guard our homes, we have to guard our hearts, because it's so easy for sin to slip in. It's so easy for anger to slip in, and bitterness and unforgiveness. And if we don't really just hold tight to the truth and bring it before God, like as soon as we're having these issues, to bring it before God. And I know in my own life, when I am easily angered, I have to stop and look back and be like, where's my connection with God? Because I can almost, not always, but almost always directly connect that when I'm frustrated or bitter or anger, I'm also not spending as much time with God as other times. And when I'm spending that time with God, walking in his commandments becomes so much easier. It's not perfect, but it's just so much easier to follow his will and follow his way when I am connected directly to him. In verse 6, it talks about, let me read verse 6 again. It says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And I instantly go back to in John 15, 1 through 17, where John once again talks about abiding in Jesus and how when we abide in Jesus, we draw closer to him, we stay connected, we bear fruit. And I think we have this illustration again, right? Like, you may have good things happening in your life when you're in sin, but it's not good fruit. It may appear to be good fruit. It may look good, but it's actually not. It's like when you get an avocado, and in Hong Kong, sometimes avocados look like they're ripe and they're ready, but then when you cut through them, they're hard. They're not very good because they falsely make it look like it's ripe. Or I don't know how that all happens, right? It can look good, but we have to really draw close to God in order for that fruit to be what he's called it to be in our life. And so I'm going to ask Mon to come up. I just want us to go before God and be real with him. You know, if you're struggling, I know we just got off the fast, and after the fast we think, oh, life should be really good, but that might not always be the case. And I just want us to go before God and ask him, what's stopping you, stopping me, from being connected with him? And also really ask God, what areas of my life am I not being pleasing to you? What areas am I letting sin start to creep in? And you don't even have to be in sin yet, but it could be that starting point. So just really go before God, seek him, and really just be completely honest with him and allow him to be honest with you.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin.
This morning, and the poem was basically, and it's talking about a group of believers on how sin had crept into their life, and they really just couldn't get out of it, and they didn't see it. They didn't realize that they were being deceived by the enemy. They didn't realize that everything going on around them was not of God, but of the devil and what he was, his plans. And the author of the poem ends by saying, if only they knew what's on the other side of the mountains is this beautiful light, a straight path, and they just can't see it. And I think that's what happens when we get stuck in our sin, when we stay in our sin, we can't see the light anymore. You know, we can't see the beauty that is just on the other side when we walk with God. So my prayer for you guys and for myself is just that we can really know that on the other side there's light. That when we are in sin or when we're struggling in sin, and we don't have to walk in sin alone. I think oftentimes there's so much shame involved in sin or our struggles or our addictions that we don't, that we hold it in. But God did not design us to be by ourselves. He designed us to be in community where we can be vulnerable. You know, not being vulnerable, I think, is really the enemy's work. And I am guilty of it myself, that I'm not vulnerable enough. But I think vulnerability is actually a true sign of strength. When we can be vulnerable with one another, wise in who we're vulnerable to, but when we can find that group of people we can be vulnerable with, God has designed us to live in such a way that we can share each other's hearts, we can share each other's burdens, not to take it on to ourselves, but that we can bring it to God. So if you are struggling in that area, in any area, you know, find some people, walk with them, have them walk with you. But there is light on the other side, and the enemy doesn't have victory, and we know that already. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, for this group. Pray for myself, Lord, that we will always know that you have won. God, that there is a better way. There is a better way, Lord, that we don't get lost in the world and in our own ways. But, God, that we will really just cling to you and your truth, God, and that we can rely on you, Jesus, as our advocate, that you replaced us, God. You took our place for the consequences of our sin, but let us never take that too lightly. Let us be bold and honest with you, with our struggles, so that you can really just help free us. Amen. We can turn to our community prayers. Let's pray for those in our community who are going through cancer and different treatments. Let's continue to lift them up. Let's lift up their families as well as they are walking alongside of them. Pray for the people in our community who have family and friends who are sick but also need salvation. Let's pray for God's healing hand to be in their life, both physically and spiritually, and let's just let God's truth be known to them. Let's pray for the rest of our people who are sick, who have different various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing in their life, and also just that they will stay steadfast to God during this time of being sick. Pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to just give them peace in this time of waiting, and that they will just know the right job at the right time for them, and that God will really just place it before them, and so that they can also be witnesses in those communities. To our different our prayer focuses. Let's talk mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia, and Cambodia and Grace, and Oasis House with P. Jenny.
lift up our mission council. Let's lift up P. Ricky, who leads that. Let's just pray for wisdom and discernment on the funds, who to partner with, and just how to better partner with our missionaries and just how they can really be a support to them as well. Lift up our local outreach, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray that we can be a light in this city, that we can really just demonstrate God's love and help bring freedom to the people of the city. For SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's lift up Kahe Sam as he, just pray that he'll be able to be adopted into a loving Christian home. Pray that as that transition takes place, whenever that takes place, that it'll be smooth and he will just feel that love the moment he is in their arms. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, EG's on a break tonight. Let's just lift them up. Let's just that the Holy Spirit will just lead and just be in each of those places tonight. Pray for our house churches that meet tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Just pray that they'll really just have a great evening where they can just really share God's love and be open and honest with each other. Focus. Let's pray for Cece Chan. Let's pray for her relationship with her Auntie Josephine. Pray for her relationship with Jenny and pray for direction at work. For Marcus Wong, let's pray for his sister to encounter God, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit for family, ministries, and work, and protection over family's health. For Benna and Conrad. Let's pray for a loving teacher for Addie in school, salvation for Conrad's family, the Mons, Eric, and Ming, for Conrad's career, what the next steps will be, for their family to become a praying family, and for their family to grow deeper in Christ in 2018. Thank you. can also just lift up all the, there's quite a few Noah's Ark kids who have the flu, and the flu this year has been quite bad. And so we can just also just lift up just the health of this entire city and the kids of this church, that they'll stay healthy. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you're just a God who just loves us so much, that you would come and cover us, that you want us to be real with you, and you want us to draw close to you, and you're not a distant God, but you're an intimate God. And so, God, I just thank you that we can cry out to you, our Father, our friend, and just that you just love us so much. And so today, God, I just pray that we'll just each know that love so deeply, God, and I just pray that we'll just be able to walk in that truth as we go about our day. So, Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.